Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to GE Shipping earnings call on declaration of its financial results for the quarter ended June 30, 2023. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, click on the Raise Hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. I now hand over the conference to Mr. G. Shivakumar, Chief Financial Officer at the Great Eastern Shipping Company Limited, to start the proceedings. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this quarterly conference call to discuss our Q1 FY 2024 results. I will now take you through a quick presentation on the results and what's been happening in the markets. First, standard disclaimers apply. The highlights are that we once again had a very profitable quarter, and most of the profit came from the shipping business. Our NAV moved up in line with the profits. There was not much change overall in the fleet value in shipping. Tankers went up a little bit, bulkers came down a little bit. Crude tankers went up a little bit, and so did gas carriers. Bulkers and product tankers came down a little bit. So overall, the fleet value stayed the same, so the NAV went up to the extent of the earnings, less the dividend that we paid out. We've declared an interim dividend of 12.90 rupees per share, which includes 7.5 rupees per share to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the company, which falls today. I won't go through the P&L. You would have gone through the P&L, I'm sure, so I won't take you through the P&L in detail. And we have the normalized financials as well, and you would be familiar with the difference between the normalized financials and the reported financials, and the adjustments that we do to arrive at the normalized financials. On the net asset value, one thing to note is the net asset value I mentioned, so on, between March and June, is up by a little over 30 rupees per share, again, reflecting the earnings which have come in, as for standalone, and for consolidated as well, it's up by about 40 rupees per share. And at consolidated, at the midpoint, we are at about 1,200 rupees per share. Again, I won't go through the key ratios. These are the earnings, et cetera. Let's see what happened to the markets, and these were the TCEs. So we saw, from the very high levels of Q4, we've come off a little bit for the tankers. The LPG carriers, of course, continued to be on time charter, and dry bulk were at pretty weak levels in Q4 FY 2023. They've gone up from there. Versus a year ago, the story is very different. Dry bulk was quite strong last year, and last year you would remember that in Q1, all the sectors were doing very well. You can see the averages across all the sectors were between $25,000 and $29,000 a day. Dry bulk was much weaker this year versus previous year, and crude tankers especially were much stronger, and of course, product tankers also have been strong. And they sort of canceled each other out in the P&L when you look at it on a Q1 versus Q1 basis. So this is how our standalone NAV moved over the last one year. So we went up by about 260 rupees per share, of which 200 rupees per share is contributed by cash profits, 88 rupees is contributed by fleet value, and this question comes up often, that what happens if your fleet value drops? Yes, the NAV might drop, will drop if the fleet value drops, but remember that there is a cash coming in all the time, which helps to improve the NAV. So it's not just a paper improvement in the net asset value. And of course, last year we paid out 28.80 rupees in dividend over the last 12 months, so that's also reduced the net asset value. And this is the movement over the last five years. This is from March 2018, so from 360 rupees per share to just under 1,000 rupees per share. This is standalone, of course. On a consolidated basis, the story is sort of similar, except that on the offshore side, there is a more significant contribution coming in from the change in the market value of the offshore assets. Because that market is picking up, we have seen repricing of assets and asset contracts and assets, which has resulted in significant increase in the market value of offshore rigs and vessels. Looking at what's happened to the shipping market, and again, this is we've seen that in April to June, we had lower levels than we had in Jan-March for Suezmax earnings. We also had a further tick down in July. Last time we had mentioned that typically the summer months tend to be a little weaker for the tanker sectors, that is both product tankers and crude tankers. And that's what panned out. However, even at these levels, the ships are at very profitable levels. For instance, at $40,000 a day, which is the Suezmax average for July, it is still an extremely profitable level. At more than $20,000 a day, which you can see for the MR, it is still a very profitable level. And again, you will find these, even within strong cycles, you will find individual months, quarters, where earnings are not as high as they used to be. But these are normal seasonal things, and these are ups and downs of the cycle. And the market is pretty volatile, so we've seen pricing ranging from $10,000 a day for voyages to $40,000 a day for voyages for MRs, for instance. So what led to this slight weakness? So it's again relative compared to what we had seen earlier in the year. We had OPEC plus crude production cuts, and we had refinery maintenance, which normally happens during Q1 and Q2 of the financial year. So overall, the trade grew, but that growth slowed down a little bit, and therefore the levels were slightly lower as earnings levels were slightly lower as compared to the previous quarter. Trade disruptions led by the European conflict continue to boost tanker ton miles, and we've seen crude and product supply growth at 3.5% and 2.5% year on year. Asset prices remain firm. They are at their strongest since 2008. Order book is building up a little bit. Now this is building up to 3% and I think 9.5%. So we are seeing orders coming in for crude and product tankers, but still at pretty low levels. Looking at dry bulk. Dry bulk obviously has been significantly weaker than the same quarter of last year, as I mentioned earlier. But it's been, for at least for Cape sizes, slightly better than it was in Jan and Feb. So you see in Feb that we were down to around OPEX or slightly lower than that in the orange line in February of 23. But it's recovered from there, but still nowhere close to the levels that we saw last year. And for the smaller size vessels like the Supramax, for instance, which you see on the right, rates are much weaker than they were last year. Now, what's led to this? We've seen increased ton-mile demand. We've seen Chinese coal imports increasing by 90%. That's for the quarter over the same quarter in the previous year. Basically because hydropower generation has been poor. They're having El Nino-like conditions, so less water means less hydropower generation, and which has been substituted by coal, which has been imported. So Chinese iron ore imports, coal imports, were quite good at the end of, in last quarter, though their iron ore seems to be coming off after the, at the end of the quarter. The last year, one of the things which boosted the dry bulk market was the COVID-related congestion, which absorbed 3 to 4% extra of the dry bulk fleet. Now that has been completely reversed, and that's added to the effective tonnage in the market, and that's led to some weakness. That's also contributed to the weakness. The negative is that the grain exports from Ukraine don't seem to be happening because the deal with Russia seems to have fallen through. and therefore that grain is lost from the market, which is less cargo for the market. Order book here continues to be close to all-time lows. There are orders going in all the time for dry bulk also. However, still the order book has not built up to any significant level. I must mention, if you go in to order a tanker today, you'll probably have to go to middle to end of 2026 at the larger yards. In dry bulk, it'll also be sometime in 2026. You will have to be very lucky to get a slot before 2026 for building a new bulk carrier. LPG, the markets continue to be strong. Our ships are on time charter, but the spot earnings continue to be strong and much higher year-on-year. This is again resulting from very strong exports from the U.S. and drought in the Panama Canal, which has led to water levels falling, and which means that there is more congestion at the Panama Canal, which also then leads to ships taking the long way around, which is, we've written COGH there, that is the Cape of Good Hope. So they come the long way around, which means that you need more ships. And all of you would understand that's more ton miles, which is good for the business because it makes the market tighter. The order book is still elevated in a historical context. So we are in excess of 20% order book for the gas carrier fleet. So this is where we are in the order book currently for the different sectors. I've already mentioned it earlier. So what's happening to asset prices? Well, crude tankers seem to show that there's been a small drop-off in prices. This is very marginal. They are at very elevated levels, and these are based on assessments of the market. So prices are still very, very high. And you could have a million here and there on the margin, depending on the specific condition of that ship. But prices are extremely high, and you can make out because what was 100 to 110 a year and a half ago, is now at about 160 for crude carriers and 140 to 150 for product tankers as well. Dry bulk have come off by about 10%-15% over the last 3 months. We are still above the levels that we saw in January, above the levels we saw in January. In LPG, prices continue to rise. These are the highest prices that we have ever seen for LPG ships. So those prices continue to rise because the markets have been so very strong. Scrapping has been non-existent because the market has been so strong. There's no reason for anybody to scrap a crude or product tanker in this market. Even dry bulk has seen very minimal scrapping. Looking at the offshore business, the fleet supply, there's no change really in the fleet supply. So there are a lot of rigs and vessels which are sort of overage, and they continue to be there. And we've had some cold stack vessels and rigs as well. There hasn't been any new excitement in the market. There's been no higher pricing. It's about a sideways market, marginally higher in rates maybe. But we haven't seen any recent pricing in the local market. There is a gradual increase in utilization, but not a huge amount. So as I said, market is at firm levels. The rates are good. But there's been no further tightening since in the last 3 to 6 months. We have repricings coming up. We have 5 vessels which need to be repriced in the course of the next couple of months. And then we have 4 further vessels which need to be repriced. In the rigs, we need 1 rig repriced in the first half of next FY. And we have 1 rig to be repriced in the second half of FY25. Just a summary, the strong cash flows have basically led to we had $360 million of net debt at peak in less than 5 years ago, which is now net cash of $200+ million. This is standalone. And this is what the business does in good years. It enables you, it produces such strong cash flows. And remember, this is after paying out a lot of dividends over the last couple of years. Share price to consolidated net asset value, we have the consolidated NAV is about 1200 rupees per share. at the midpoint of the NAV. So we trade at about 33% discount to the consolidated net asset value. And again, these are our CSR partners. That brings me to the end of the presentation. We are very happy to take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. The operator will announce your name when it is your turn to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from Abhishek Nigam from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my first question is that if I look at shipping revenue days this quarter, I think they are down about 4% Q1Q. Just, you know, if you could give us some clarity on what happened there and what should we expect for the second quarter?
Yeah, so the revenue days is a function of the ships that we sold. Basically, we sold two ships last year. We sold one crude tanker, Aframax, the Jagleal, and we sold one MGC, the Jagvijaya. And so the capacity itself has dropped off to that extent.
Okay, fair enough. That's useful. And crude and product carrier day rates now will be at this point of time, like say, you know, end of July and early August, where will they be versus what you book in the first quarter? And also for dry bulk.
So spot markets come with, you'll have to take this with a lot of caveats. And this may be the market as of yesterday, and it is not what the market might be that we would be earning. This is what the spot market is, basically. Okay. And it, what the spot market was yesterday, it is not necessarily what it is going to be tomorrow morning. And it all depends on when you're going to fix your ship. So the crude tanker markets continue to be strong, at least for the Suezmaxes. The Aframaxes currently are a little weaker than they were in the first quarter. However, as I said, these things turn very quickly. The market, you can see, is quite tight. And when there's that level of tightness in the market, it doesn't take much to push the market, the TC-wise, by $20,000 a day within a couple of days on voyages. Okay. So while it is currently a little bit lower than it was in the last quarter, it is not a reflection of what it can be, because it has been quite volatile over the last 3 to 4 months. We've seen $5,000 a day and $40,000 a day within the space of a week, both being done on the same route. So it is really choppy and therefore not an indication of what it could be. But in general, as it stands today, it's a little bit, as it stood yesterday, a little bit weaker than it was in the last quarter. But again, seasonality also plays a role in this.
Yeah, okay, got it. So my, you know, what I'm trying to do is sort of form a view on that segment. The issue is, on one hand, OPEC has been cutting you know, production, yeah. And on the other hand, you have seasonality, you have more refineries coming out of maintenance now, which should sort of, you know, lead to increase in trade. So it's okay. Kind of very tough to form a, you know, clear view right now.
Yeah, so if you look at how the oil market is shaping up, so yeah, OPEC, so Saudi Arabia did a separate cut, right? This did a separate cut of 1 million barrels a day July and August, right? So that cut is for trying to balance the market. And that was when oil was in the 70s. Now the question is, what is their action when oil is in the 80s? So it's currently 82, 83. What is their action? Is it going to come back? Is that million barrels a day going to come back into the market? The second is, of course, refineries are coming out of maintenance, so the demand will be there. So you either you have drawing down from inventories, in which case then the price keeps climbing higher because the spot supply is not meeting demand, or you have spot supply picking up in order to meet demand. So in which case then you've got more crude cargoes starting to move again, which then tightens the market once again. So the question is, how does the price of oil, which is at 82, 83 now, which is different from where it was when the cut was done? Again, we have an OPEC meeting coming up. We'll know soon enough.
Fair enough. And when you look at your offshore NAV on a quarterly basis, so what I wanted to check was, where are the jack-up rig price levels now versus the highs of the previous cycle? So if I just choose a very ballpark number, I think on average a jack-up would cost about, a new jack-up will be about $180 million US, say in the last cycle. So are prices approaching those levels or are we still way below that?
So when you say new jack-up, are you talking of a new building contract?
I am talking about new build contract.
A very modern jack-up in the water, which is already operating. So valuations for those have been, we have got valuations and say, let's say 10 years ago, before the market went down, valuations have been in the 210 to 230 million range. That was the high point of the jack-up value cycle. So excess of $200 million. Today those rigs would be valued at maybe a little over $100 million.
Okay, so the jack-up rig upcycle, asset price upcycle has sort of just begun. We are still very, very far from peak.
We are far in the sense that it is lower in absolute terms. However, the earnings at that time were also different. So the earnings were at least, so based on a pricing in the same market, the earnings were $40,000 per day more in that market versus the most recent pricing in India. So that is also a factor.
Fair enough. I
so that's 14 million dollars of cash flow that you could get versus today's rates.
Yeah, okay, but I mean those day rates are of course also climbing, so I guess it's fair to assume that asset prices will go up further.
Should
go up further. Okay, last question from me. Asset prices for container ships and dry bulk, have they really corrected to a level where you would be comfortable to, acquire some?
Yeah. Container ships actually not yet. So I don't think they have corrected that much because there's been sort of a floor put under them. The market seems to be okay with buying them at higher levels also. Dry bulk also have dropped off significantly. They are getting closer, but maybe not yet there. Maybe the next transaction we see in the market. And the dry bulk market, and to answer your previous question, the dry bulk market currently is a little weak. And it's weaker than it was in the previous quarter. At least for the smaller sizes of vessels, the subcapes are weaker than they were in the previous quarter. So yes, maybe with some more weakness, the dry bulk market is probably holding out for a China stimulus, because of hope of a China stimulus. And maybe if that doesn't come through, you will have some more weakness in dry bulk rates, which gives you an opportunity, but not necessarily yet. But it's coming, it's going in that direction.
Fair enough, that's very useful. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Abhishek.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. Participants who wish to ask a question may please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. We have a question from Roshan Nair from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Mr. Nair, we're not able to hear you clearly.
Is it audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So the gain on sale of Jug Lavanya, that has been booked in this quarter?
Hi Roshan. So the Lavanya was delivered in July, so that the gain will be recorded in Q2 in the September quarter.
Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. We have a question from Abhishek Nigam from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity again. So offshore is now, you know, EBIT positive again in this quarter. It was positive last quarter. More or less, it has been in the positive territory last 3-4 quarters. So is it fair to assume that, you know, this is really broken even and, you know, turned around and it will at least stay in the positive territory now for the foreseeable future?
We don't know about the foreseeable future, but yes, the worst it seems is behind us there. And yes, with the repricings which are happening, it appears that we will be back in positive territory. At least break even.
Fair enough. And, you know, we already know we have some data points around the jackupry market. On the offshore vessel side, what kind of repricings are happening? Like, how much premium are you able to sort of command now versus the previous charter?
Yeah. So in India, we are seeing repricing happening at $2,000 to $3,000 a day higher than last done on the contract. Sometimes more than that also, but on average, let's call it $3,000 a day. In international markets, it's much more. So the international markets are quicker to react to these things, and these are shorter term contracts where there are specific requirements. So you could even have a $5,000 to $7,000 improvement in rate for a short term contract. So yes, every single repricing I think would be higher than the previous contract. It that we've done has been higher than the previous contract.
Okay, fair enough. And just on the ONVC Jacobric tenders, is it possible to, you know, give us some details around the dates and you know, what is happening over there?
So there is a tender out currently, which is a 5-rig tender, which is Jacobs, of course. We may not qualify for that particular tender because of the time our rigs are getting free from their rig is getting free from the earlier contract a little later. So yeah, there are tenders which keep coming out all the time. We haven't seen a repricing since our Great Rift Charu got repriced, where we got the contract. We've not yet gone onto the new contract. That will happen by end of this year. But we haven't seen a price point after that. But there will be tenders. There are tenders coming all the time. In fact, okay. They seem to have quite a lot of requirements.
And besides ONGC, I mean, who will be the other sort of customers who are sort of putting out tenders over here?
The long-term contracts are basically from ONGC. Other players are looking for 2-3 well contracts for which you need a rig immediately. We are not really there to do those contracts, and those don't keep your rig really occupied for enough time. So we prefer to do slightly longer term contracts. But basically, the Indian market for jackups is basically ONGC. The others are not really relevant here.
Okay. So my understanding is one of the jackup rigs is coming off contract in, I think, October this year, if I'm not wrong. And is there a risk it could remain idle for a while? Because
the first rig coming off contract is the Great Charu, which is in September, October this year. she already has received the next 3-year contract at a much higher pricing. So she will come off this contract, do the work required to be done between the two contracts, and then hopefully go on hire for the next contract by the end of calendar 2023. So that's the first rig coming off contract. The next rig comes off contract in May, June next year. So that's the next rig coming off contract. So there will be tenders for employment. We will bid into those tenders, and if we win those tenders, then it is unlikely, then hopefully we will not have idling between contracts, except for the standard, you know, where you have to do some work for the contract.
Sure. And just last question from me. So in the last cycle, there were really, you know, 4 yards, maybe 5 at max, which were really credible offshore yards. So the 2 in Singapore, Lamprell, and, you know, 1 or 2 in China. This time what we've seen is Lamprell, I think they declared bankruptcy, Keppel Sembcorp sort of merged together. So how many credible, you know, shipyards are out there which are, you know, actively building rigs, and have you seen any contracts of late for a new build contract?
So we haven't seen any contracts. We are told that there are some rigs which are being built in Saudi Arabia for Saudi Aramco, where I think Lamprell set up a yard there. They were going to set up a yard. I don't know how that's going, because that's not really announced too much publicly. But it's a function of what the pricing is. And one estimate we heard for, say, reactivation of a Singaporean yard to build jack-up rigs. So not reactivation of the yard, but reactivation of the rig building activity. The yards are working and doing other things. One estimate we heard is that if somebody is there to build a jack-up at $225 million plus, then, and this was, I think, an analyst report, it said that it will take prices in excess of $225 million for a new building jack-up rig for the Singaporean yards to be interested in building again. And China, of course, one never knows because, you know, they're not necessarily operating fully on commercial considerations. They may just decide that they want to get back into building and rig building and capture the market. But we haven't seen any orders placed for many years.
We have our next question from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I joined call a bit late. Just on the gas side of the business, we typically tend to have long-term contracts, but how is the renewables coming on gas side, and how are the rates there, if you can give some idea on that?
So we haven't seen too many renewals recently. The rates are very high. We think that pricing will be significantly higher than our last contracts, than our current running contracts, because the market is much stronger than it was, say, a year or so ago when we last did a pricing of a VLCC. So the MGC, the mid-sized gas carrier, went onto a new contract, which was priced about 20-25% higher than she was priced in 2021. Yes, the rates are trending upwards because the spot rates are so high. The spot rates are $80,000 a day. So, and that's going to pull time charter rates up. The assessment, the broker assessment of time charter rates is also much higher than it was a year ago. Maybe even higher than it was 6 months ago. So we haven't necessarily seen a pricing recently in this market. In the Indian market, but we suspect it will be much higher than last year's rates.
Got it. Okay.
We have all coming up for pricing in the end of this year.
Okay. And on this cost structure side, are we seeing cost structure getting any material change, particularly the way we are seeing improvement in offshore side? So on OPEX side, how is the cost structure? Is there any material change?
Yeah, good question. The operating, the material change, especially in offshore but also in shipping, is availability of manpower on chips. We have, there is an issue with trained manpower, much more on the offshore vessel side, because of all the vessels and activity which is happening, reactivation of vessels, etc. And therefore, costs are going up. These are not going up in a huge way, because operating expenses anyway were not a very large component. But yes, there is cost inflation happening due to crewing costs. To a slightly lesser extent on the overall OPEX, there are cost increases happening in shipping as well. So this is a common theme across. It's the other costs, yes, dry docking costs also a little bit higher, you know, across the board, a little bit higher, more work to be done, steel, etc. So yes, costs are increasing, but not to a very significant extent. So I would say less than 10% increase in OPEX over the last 2 to 3 years.
Okay, and in offshore side, does we have increased exposure outside India, or how is that mix between India and outside broadly in terms of revenue?
Yeah, we have 4 vessels operating outside India currently. We might send out a couple more vessels to operate outside India. As I mentioned, the outside markets are quicker to catch up to market movements. And if we don't get, rates which we believe are fair and reflect the market in India, then we'll move the vessels outside India. So currently we have 4. We could look at taking out a couple more vessels at least if we get decent contracts.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Vikram.
Thank you. We have our next question from Nikhil Jain from Zontro. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have a question on the cash allocation strategy. If the asset prices continue to hold strong, say for the next 4 to 6 quarters, what possible cash allocation strategies could be considered, such as increased dividends or buybacks?
So, hi, good evening. Yes, if the rates remain strong, we could look at all of these options. We have paid out much more dividends in the last year or so. We paid 6 consecutive quarterly dividends as of this quarter, going back till Jan last year. So we are open to paying out more dividends, and we have paid out more dividends. Buyback, again, depends on the price, depends on the circumstances, and whether it makes sense from a capital allocation point of view. We are not there to, just as we are not there to invest in ships at any price, we are not there to buy back the stock at any price. It will always be if we can see value in it in the long term. When considering a buyback, we have to keep in mind always that there is a 23% leakage, which is on account of the buyback tax, which was imposed in 2019, and which makes it very, very, very inefficient to do a buyback. So that's one factor which is always there when you're thinking about a buyback as a capital allocation option. So at current values, just as an example, at current values, let's say it's around 800, that would add 180 rupees plus to the price per share that you pay. So, you know, that really disincentivizes the buyback, because nobody is getting that. The shareholders are not getting it, and the company has to pay it out. So that's something that we have to keep in mind. Otherwise, we will be patient and wait for the right opportunity. So we've seen this in the past, that it pays to be patient, really.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from Vaibhav Bajatya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir,
can you speak a bit louder, please?
Is it better now?
Yes.
You'll have to speak a bit louder.
Okay, not a problem. So my question is on the supply side. So I understand that shipyards are full, and as you said that all delivery will be in 2026. but some of the assets which are already on order might get delivered in 2035. So my question was, historically, have you seen any kind of rescheduling of delivery timelines? Because you know, obviously, the shipyards have a lot of container ship orders, and the market has completely changed. And if some of the order cancellations happen, can the slot which will get freed by cancellation of container ships order be replaced by a tanker order? Have you seen that historically happen?
Yeah, we have heard rumors of one of those happening, container ships getting converted into tankers. However, remember that these are large container ships which are taking up a crude tanker slot. Typically, these large container ships get ordered with a contract, an employment contract at the time of placing the order, typically. Either that or the orders are placed by a container line itself, which has no interest in operating a tanker. So they will tend to take delivery if they have a contract attached or if they are being ordered actually by a container line. It's only if it is an owner like us who has different sectors, who operates in different sectors, that you have a possibility of the order being restructured to a different type of ship. Because if it's a container ship company, they'll take delivery. They'll want only a container ship. They don't want to convert it to a crude tanker, for instance. So far we have not seen it. In theory, it can happen, but practically, it's slightly lower probability. We've seen this happen also in the past, where tankers got converted, tanker orders got converted to bulkers and vice versa.
Got it. On the customer side. Yes. But on the shipyard side, the capacities are generally fungible. I mean, the shipyards are generally, they manufacture and manufacture all kinds of ships.
Sorry, I've lost you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so on the shipyard side, I mean, are capacity generally fungible? I mean, or for shipyards also, it becomes difficult to kind of. I mean,
Let's say take one of the large Korean yards. The capacity is fungible. The dry dock in which they're building a large container ship can also build a large crude carrier. So that space can be used to build different types of ships. They can build an LNG carrier as well. But if they've started building a container ship and they've placed orders for the equipment for a container ship, then you can't change midway to a crude tanker or to an LNG ship. That's very difficult. The space is fungible and the yards generally have the capability. So the large Korean yards have the capability to build any one of those three which I mentioned. But again, subject to practical considerations, how far along are you in the process of building that
ship? Right. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah, that's it from that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Rajesh Agarwal from Money Ore. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yes, we can hear you.
We can. When all our LPG vessels are coming for repricing?
They start in end of this year, November, December this year, and go on till middle of 24. So within that borders 6 to 8 month period.
That's true. By starting December 23.
That's correct.
And sir, what is the outlook on the dry bulk market now when China reopening and all?
So China reopened quite a few months ago. Chinese imports, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, have been quite strong. So iron ore imports are up, coal imports are up a lot because of other reasons, not just because of reopening, because hydropower generation was poor. So China reopening has happened in some ways. The question then is of a China stimulus. Is there a China stimulus coming, which is the next possible boost for dry bulk? Yes, dry bulk players are waiting for that stimulus for the market to go up. But let's see, who knows, it's anybody's guess if that happens, when it happens.
Very low, sir. Historically, dry bulk prices are still very low.
Low, you mean ship prices?
Dry bulk freight.
You mean freight rates? Yeah, freight rates are pretty low for, especially for the smaller size vessels. They're quite low. And they're much lower than they were a year ago.
How has been the movement in the last 1 month?
Last 1 month, they've been moving around lowish levels. So, probably $10,000.
On operating parameters, are we breaking even in this dry bulk?
No, well above. We are earning on average much above OPEX. Close to break even on the dry bulk portfolio. But some ships are earning, quite poorly. But overall, it's close to break even or at break even, I would say.
So maximum dry bulk are on spot? Spot?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. Participants may click on the raise hand button on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. There are no further questions, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your active participation in this con call. As always, the transcript and the recording will be uploaded in a few days. We are happy to take any further questions that you have. You can reach out to us. You know our contact details, and you can find them on our website, and you can reach out to our investor relations team anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Great Eastern Shipping, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now exit the meeting.